Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
51551, wash your hands. Andy Loughlin in County Leitrim. Andy.
Good afternoon.
You agree with Tommy Roddy that the lights, let them be gone?
I totally agree because I believe none of us, including myself, I believe none of us have the right to waste power. It's a waste of energy. God's given energy that we have only the right and the duty only to use the energy that we need. Yeah. If we need to turn on a light because we need to see something, then that is okay. I have no problem with that. But this is only, it's an example of what's going on all over the country. I mean, I see lights on in the middle of the day. It's an absolute disgrace. No one seems to think of, we should be preserving, conserving, and preserving. Okay. And
But Andy,
we should be thinking about the generations that's going to come after us. That we waste as little as possible.
Okay, and you're saying we should be thinking.
Since COVID came in, climate change seems to have gone out the window. We seem to have forgotten about climate change, and I believe that. This now is people that don't seem to care. Forget about the money. The money isn't important.
Okay.
It's the waste of energy that I completely object to.
Yeah, but it's not God-given. It comes from Electric Ireland, and they argue that most of their electricity these days is coming from wind power.
I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Okay. And Andy, did you put up Christmas lights yourself?
No, I don't, no, because I live on my own. And
Andy.
There's not, I put one candle in the window to welcome Jesus. That's all I did. And the one thing is that if I... You'll never find a light on in my house that's not needed. Do you understand?
I do. Yeah.
I will never have a light on in a room where unless I'm in the room. And if I go out of the room, if I leave my living room to go into the kitchen, I'll turn off the light in the living room and I'll turn on the light in the kitchen. Wow. Simply because I don't waste energy.
And
it's not the money. I probably could afford
a bit more
to use or to leave a light on. You know what I mean? But I won't do it.
And at night time, Andy, would you leave a light on the landing or by your bedside?
No, I don't do any of that. And outside, I'll have no lights on outside whatsoever.
Yeah. Are you hard on yourself, Andy, living alone and not turning off the light every time? Are you being very hard on yourself, Andy, living alone and turning off every light every time you leave a room at night time?
I can't hardly hear you, Joe.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. You're saying.
Okay. I'm just saying, if I'll try it again, Andy, are you being a bit hard on yourself?
I don't think so. I'm just doing the right thing. And the same with COVID. I hear people talking that COVID is hard on people. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I don't find it hard. And I'm sticking to all the rules. I haven't been in the house since last March. I haven't been to any. And I don't see anyone from one end of the week to the next, you know. But I look on that as a blessing in some ways because I'm able to keep myself safe. You understand?
Yeah,
look at it as being hard.
And Andy, did you see anyone on Christmas Day?
No, I was on my own on Christmas Day, and I've no problem with that.
Okay.
I've been on my own for the last 36 years or whatever, 37 years, and I've no problem with being on my own.
And what keeps you company?
I read.
Good man.
And the radio, and I read more than, and I'm always reading or whatever. Do you understand?
Yeah,
I don't even have a television.
Okay. The radio and have you a little dog?
No, that's a long story. Oh. I had a dog and he died. Oh. He died from cancer. And okay. I did everything to try and save her. She was a bitch. You know, I often hear people talking. Sometimes, you know, people don't understand how attached you can become to an animal. You know, I have a cat now at the moment, and she basically talks to me. You might believe that. She has only three legs, you know. And but no, I said I'd never have another dog, even though I'm awful fond of animals.
Yeah.
But I'm very fond of animals, but I'd never have another dog. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I could never replace the dog that I had, you know.
And Andy, when is the last time you had a, apart from the postman or whatever, maybe the postman, when is the last time you had a conversation face to face with somebody?
Oh, there's a man, I do feed the cattle for him, and I happen to see him.
Okay.
But we keep our distance, you know, I do feed the cattle for him in the morning, and I happen to see him yesterday. But I mightn't see him for, you know, depends. If I see him coming, you know, he comes and leaves the food for the cattle, and I do feed them, you know.
Well done, well done.
You know, but that's all. But no, I have no problem. I can't understand.
And but your argument isn't the monetary value of it. Your argument is climate change and electricity.
It's wasting energy.
Okay.
No matter what it is, no matter what type of energy, it's wasting it. And we waste. You drive around the country and all the lights that are on outside houses, you know, and no need. They cannot see. I don't know what to have the lights on for. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And I see people turning lights on in the middle of the day. It's as if they flick a switch, and they don't even know what they're. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, Andy. Andy, stay with us for a sec, Andy, please. And I want to go to Judy Bryant as a quick point also about the price, not just the monetary price, but the carbon price of leaving Christmas lights on and streets till at least now till next month. Go ahead, Judy, please.
Well, Joe, I think Andy made the point as well as I can, and maybe even better. But my whole point is, I'm a farmer, and we're told every day on the media we've got to cut down our carbon footprint.
Okay.
And yet, all these Christmas lights in towns, cities, villages, and private homes are still on. And it's a waste of electricity. And it's increasing the carbon footprint of the whole country.
Okay.
So why should one group be castigated all the time for what they do? Recently in the Tullamore Tribune, there was a bit of an article on energy saving.
Yeah.
And one of the things we were told to do was turn out the lights when you leave a room, as Andy pointed out.
Yeah.
And yet, all these other lights are on, wasting electricity, building up the country carbon footprint.
But Judy, do you turn off the light of an evening when you're going from the living room into the kitchen to make a cup of tea?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Why do I think that's sad? Why do I think, what's wrong with me? What's in my DNA that makes me, that would be the last thing I would do?
Well, I suppose if you're brought up to conserve electricity.
Yeah.
And I started life in a house with no electricity.
But I'll go back to Andy just for a second, if you excuse me, please, Judy, bear with me. Andy, would you not be worried, given that you turn off the lights all the time, that you might trip and fall in the darkness?
No. Listen, that lady there, she reminded
Judy,
me, and that good lady reminded me of something. Sometimes I often think I'm the only one that does what I do, and it's a relief. It's lovely to know that there are other people that, you know, when I look around. But I want to say something to you, Joe. You know, the way I am, I don't owe that to myself at all. I owe it to my parents, because my parents, when I was being brought up, the mantra was, waste not, want not. That's what we used to be told. And I remember saying to my father one time, God be good to him. I remember saying, Daddy, I remember asking him, Daddy, why, you know, how do we know, or why do you keep telling us waste not, want not? And he said, I want to tell you the story about a man that he was put out at the workhouse. And I remember saying, Daddy, and why was the man put out at the workhouse? Because Daddy said he was caught lighting a match beside the fire. So it's a very simple thing. It's a wonderful way to make the point, you know, to light a match beside the fire, that you waste a match.
Okay, thank you.
A simple match, you know, that costs, you could buy
a simple match that might save someone's life if we're stranded. I take your point. Andy, do you allow yourself any luxuries?
What do you mean by luxury?
Okay. I presume you don't have an electric blanket.
No. I've no problem with heating. I was a carpenter by trade. My house, I've never had it rated, but I did all the work myself on it.
Great.
And it cost me very little. If I told you what it cost me, and I don't be cold. I don't be cold.
And what is your heating? What is your heating in the house? And these
it's
very
oil. And I have a stove, and I have the stove in such a way that all the heat comes into the room.
Good man.
The only heat that I lose is what I can't avoid losing. But I'm going taking it out because I'm going taking it out because I don't want to burn coal and I'll put in a small electric fire and I'll turn it on when I'm cold and I'll turn it off when I'm warm.
But Andy, there's nothing nicer than a real fire, be it a stove or an open fire. Sure, there's not.
Yeah, but they're going to be a thing of the past. Because it's already illegal.
Okay, the type of coal is illegal in that part of the country.
But even an open fire, I heard someone saying that planning permission
in
now
new houses,
not allowed.
Yeah.
And also, I heard a lady on, and I totally agree with her. I burnt timber here, but do you know what I do with the timber, Joe? Do you know what I do with it?
Tell us.
I split it, and I put it into a house, and I let it dry out.
Yeah, good man.
I put it because the pollution, they reckon that the difference between burning dry timber and burning wet timber, that it's colossal, the pollution. But I'm even going to stop that as well.
Okay, good man.
I do everything. Do you understand?
Okay. Andy, stay with us, please, over this break. 51551. Wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Tony Morrison is in Dublin. Tony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're listening to all the discussion. When is the last time you saw your grandchildren, Tony?
I've five grandchildren in total, Joe, and three are in Selbridge and two are within 5K here. So I saw my two children on Christmas Day. We went up for a couple of hours. And that was it.
Yeah.
And because I haven't seen my grandchildren in Selbridge because obviously of the 5K distance. Now, what keeps me going at the moment, we were looking last previous Christmas, we all went in at the Met Santi in Arnott's, and we have a nice photograph. So I look at that and said, my God, what a difference, you know.
And what was Christmas like for you, Tony?
Well, all it was that we went up to my son and the two grandkids and tried to sit one end of the table, and we came home then after a few hours, and that was it. So it wasn't Christmas really, like, you know.
And what have you got to look forward to now?
Well, you know, obviously I'm looking forward to getting this vaccine. Now, I'm very concerned at the moment because I have underlying health conditions.
Okay.
So much so that there was a program arranged last year through the HSE and your local GP. It's called the New Chronic Disease Management Program. And with that, you get two consultations a year on how to manage your illnesses. And there's a list of illnesses on them. My son just said to me, God, you want to be careful because you've a couple of those illnesses that's listed. I've diabetes, I've a heart condition, and the irregular heartbeat.
And are you on your own in the house, Tommy?
I have my wife is here with me.
Okay.
But the big concern that I have, that the recent news that the scarcity of the vaccine, that surely that I'm registered with the HSE through the GP for to get this vaccine on account of the underlying conditions. And because I'm 73 years of age, I hear now that the 70-year-olds will go on age groupings. So where I was looking forward to getting this vaccine, obviously in February, March, it's not going to happen now, what I hear, due to the availability of it.
Well, there's serious, serious issues emerged almost overnight from AstraZeneca, which is manufactured in three plants, but they're in England. They're in England and Wales, sorry. The three plants in England and Wales. And apparently they were due to, the EU had agreed to purchase 80 million doses. And AstraZeneca told them yesterday that's going to drop by 60%, and I think all they're offering at this stage is 30 million. And the EU want to know where have the rest of the vaccines gone? And it's looks like it might turn into a tug of war. I don't know.
Well, what your program featured there was about the light and some sort of brightness and bringing something that I wanted to see, some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. Now, the weekend there, my grandchildren, they sent a video down, my grandchildren playing around in the snow. Now, I want to look forward to that in the next couple of months to go out and meet them in the park or whatever, play around my grandchildren.
And so, has that been the hardest part of the pandemic?
It really is. The other thing is that if I go out for a walk and for exercise, they'll find people are jogging beside you, deep breathing, to keep their distance. It's gone to the stage now that I'm going to bring a walking stick with me and hold it out sideways to try and maintain the 2 meters.
2 meter distance,
because young people, obviously, fit and healthy, it's great, there's no issue. But I know if I get this virus, if I go into a hospital, I won't come out,
Do you think so, yeah?
Oh, yeah, that's what I feel like.
Why? Well, most people do come back out.
But look at the percentage, though, of people with underlying conditions. Obviously, if you're healthy, you may be able to overcome things.
And how have you managed? It's nearly a year now, or 5-6 weeks. I think today, I'm checking, I'm reading today, this day last year was the first day we got an actual call from somebody talking about the virus. Someone in Capel Street in Dublin, actually, if I remember correctly, and it was an issue that came up. That's a year ago. That's a year ago today. So, and then the lockdown came in March. It's been a tough year.
Well, the aspect that I spoke there to someone recently, that if you're a 40-year-old now, it's okay, and please God, the vaccine will be in, and we'll get back to normal. But I'm 73 years of age, that year's gone out of my life. I'll never pick it back again, that were cocooning as best they can.
And like, how does that make you feel? Just that point you made that year, I'm 73, I'm older, that year has gone out of my life, I'll never get it back again.
Yeah, that's what I feel like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the things that you've missed out on, I've missed out on birthdays with my children, like, you know.
Everything, everything.
Different occasions, going out for a meal, you're not comfortable, like, you know. Going on a day trip, no, you can't, and you can't go to Galway for the day, no. Like, you know, so much, like, you know.
And then, as you say, you're looking at photographs of your grandchildren with Santa, but they're 15 months old.
That's it. Like, you know, you look at the happy memories. That's all it is. It's a memory.
And, you know, when you look at photographs from a year ago, and the memories keep flooding back, but so come the tears sometimes as well, when you think of the situation that we're in.
Absolutely. Like, you know, that... There's a good friend of mine, like, you know, I have to go to stand outside. I was at a funeral last week, and of course, stand outside the railings, like, you know, with the hearse coming. And there's another one coming on Thursday, like, you know.
Are you
serious? And I said, well, that's the era that I'm in, like, you know, and the age.
But that we're now in an age where the attendance at a funeral means standing on the road as the hearse goes by.
Absolutely.
At a distance, and don't stand beside anyone else. My God.
Yeah.
What a different world.
Absolutely. Like, you know, and even churches closed, that and that. Yeah. Like, you know, I think it's going to go to a stage that you'll have to go to a field. Talking about the mass, we'll be back to the mass rock, like, you know.
Okay.
It won't be in a building, it'll be out on the hill and taking your social distance, like, you know.
Okay. Okay, Tony, you look after yourself. That's Tony Morrison in Dublin. Caroline Maguire is in Meath. Caroline, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How did you spend Christmas?
I spent Christmas completely alone because of COVID. Do you want me to go on?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, well, usually what would happen is in recent years is that a niece who also lives alone would come and come Christmas Eve, maybe go home on Stephen's Day.
Yeah.
But this year, because of COVID, we decided it couldn't happen. So I was, as I was saying to your researcher, for the first time in my 80 years, I spent Christmas alone.
And were you lonely?
No, because I had telephone calls in from my son and daughter, who both live in the UK, at opposite ends of it, more or less, and from other members of my family as well. And they knew that I was here on my own, and it couldn't be helped, basically.
Okay, and what did you do on Christmas Day?
I had laid in newspapers and things.
I
cooked a chicken. Okay. I ate normal meals and I watched the television.
Very good.
Yeah, the only thing that I do, I tend to stay up too late at night. But I have.
Oh my God, Caroline! You've lost. You're out of control, Caroline. You've lost the run of yourself. You need help, Caroline. Go for help. Caroline, admit you have a problem. That's the first thing you've got to do. I stay up late. I'm living alone, doctor, and I stay in a place. What can I do for you?
The other thing I was going to say was about turning off lights.
Oh, yeah, hello.
I was brought up to turn off lights, and I would naturally do it.
As you leave a room, a la Andy.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I have, my kitchen is, I live in a big old house in the country. Now, it's not a family house. My husband and I bought it back in the 1980s. We had it rewired, and there are two light switches in the kitchen, one at each end of it.
Oh, good idea.
So there's a lovely small sitting room at one end, which is where we have the television, and it's comfortable, and you could have an open fire in it. That, of course, would have to go now soon too. But anyway, there's a switch at that end, and then there's a switch at the other end where you have the corridor leading to the stairs and so on.
Okay.
So some of our rooms are like that, where a room that can be walked through.
Oh, yes. And you do turn off the light as you leave.
Oh, I do. As I go, yes, I do.
Even though you might be coming back into that room 5 minutes later.
Yes, but it's the yes, I would, but I wouldn't have like the, and I haven't now got the the light isn't on in the television room, and even if I had the door open, the light wouldn't be on in it. The okay. lights, there are two lights here in the kitchen because it's big. But at night, I would have switch on. I would switch on the light in the little. There's a sort of a little inner hall at the foot of the stairs.
Yeah.
And I'd leave a light on there while I'm up.
You know the way you admitted to this new problem you have of staying up late that you've lost. Just tell the group what is the latest you stay up until?
Oh, I could stay up till 4 a.m.
Oh my God!
If I wasn't expecting anyone to call in the morning.
You're beyond hope, Caroline.
And if there was something interesting on the television.
Great. You're beyond hope and beyond. There is help available, Caroline.
It's called switch off the telly.
No. But by the way, sorry, just one little. But when you said I'm getting rid of the open fire, your tone was I want to get rid of the open fire.
No, not particularly. But the fuel isn't going to be available at the moment. Now I burn a mix of briquettes and various sorts of coal. Let's say whatever. It's a sort of a.
Well, the only people you get now is in the Boomtown rats. The pizza.
Well, whatever. The briquettes are going, as you know.
Yeah.
And I have thought of it for a while. It does. Although I have oil central heating, but I keep it on throughout the house now, but turned low. Turn to the minimum, which is about 65.
Okay.
But a house like mine would get damp in places if it was unevenly heated.
I asked Andy, still there, about any little luxuries in life. I know you would tell me from your demeanour there, life is a luxury and you're living it to the full. But you have a nice garden or...
I have a big garden now. I wouldn't say at the moment now it could do with somebody going over it with a trimmer, but I planted a lot of trees, I have a lovely array of trees along the edge of the drive coming into the front of the house.
That sounds lovely.
All sorts of things which offer things in winter as well as summer.
Oh God, you're on
such
the ball,
as different
yeah.
coloured bark. Yeah. Well, I'm a botanist. Different coloured bark and so on, and I have a range of. I'd say I have the. I have the luxury, I have 3 acres, so I have the luxury to grow cherries, which take up a lot of space. I have a couple of pine trees.
And what do you do with the cherries, by the way?
Oh, no, the birds eat them. Most of the hybrid cherries won't produce berries anyway.
Yeah, okay.
But a few of them have put up suckers, which do, and I was going to cut down. They got the blight, the cherry blight that happened a few years ago, and the big
out,
old.
It was out that week, I think. There was a cherry blight.
There was. It was 10 years ago now or more. But more than that actually. But suckers came up from the roots, which would be wild cherry type, and they are a magnificent sight in spring.
Okay.
And then they actually put out cherries, and because they're the wild cherry, the birds recognise them as edible. So I get birds in as well. So it has turned into a sort of what could have been a disaster has turned into a bonus.
Brilliant. And where were you a botanical scientist?
I did my degree in my primary degree in Galway, and later on, then I was lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time to pick up. Funding for a PhD in Trinity.
And where did you work subsequently?
Oh, I did the basic survey that was for the modern management program of the mountain areas in the National Park in Killarney.
Wow, well done.
So the funding was actually government funding.
And I asked Andy the same, have you a cat or a dog?
My cat, I'd never had a dog. I'm not a dog person, but we did have dogs at home.
Don't tell me your cat died, Caroline.
She died just after Christmas. No, she's old age.
What was her name?
She was a rescued cat.
Okay.
One of my sisters found her as a kitten. On a stone in the middle of a stream out in the outskirts of Galway. And she trained her to scratch the carpet, so to speak. And then when there were new carpets put into the house a year or two later, the poor cat didn't know she couldn't really do it any longer. So I had a frantic call from my brother-in-law saying, Caroline, would you take Puss Puss? And I said, what's wrong? Oh, she scratched the new carpets. Well, now, what did I say, Ed? So anyway, the cat lived with me until about a fortnight ago. And she died. She was probably about 15.
And how do cats die, finally? I thought they go off into the woods or something.
Well, she did, more or less. But I have lots of sheds and things. And she did. I looked for her and... I found her. Now, she wasn't dead, but she was clearly on her way out. So I put her into the carry box and brought her into the vet, and he agreed with me, and she was quietly put to sleep. Okay. Will you get
another cat? Or
I would look to one of the charities, the animal charities.
Yeah, to trust. Overall, finally, Caroline, how have you managed during the pandemic, the year of the pandemic?
Well, There are problems. I can do most of my shopping in the village. People bring the newspaper is delivered to me every day by a neighbour.
Great.
Now, not always the same one, but if there's somebody going through the shop, and the local shopkeeper will look and say, oh, Caroline hasn't been in for her paper. If you're dropping, she'd know this person was passing my door. Would you mind dropping in her paper?
Great.
And that's what happens. But other times, like today now, I actually went down and got it myself My neighbour hadn't been.
Okay, it's a bit of air and it wasn't icy today.
I have to go a little bit further afield. Okay. Then I have to go to the next village to get fresh meat and vegetables. Okay. But apart from that, I manage.
Okay, try and, Caroline, just for that new addiction you have, try and wean yourself off 4 o'clock in the morning. Maybe tonight leave it till, go to bed at 10 minutes to 4 and then tomorrow go to bed at 20 minutes to 4 in the morning.
I try.
There is help available.
I promise myself tonight now I'm going to watch things that stop at 2 a.m.
Okay.
But of course that never happens.
Okay.
Anyway, there you
go. God bless you.
Okay, Joe.
Caroline McGuire in County Meath. Andy, before I leave you on your own, like Caroline living on your own, but you're not lonely up in County Leitrim. Andy, would you take another dog? You say your dog died. Would you take
No.
Why not?
I never find a dog that replaced the one that I had, you know.
Okay, what was your dog's name?
Treelish.
Treelish?
No, Treelish.
Treelish, okay.
Treelish, it's the Irish word for faithful. Treelish.
Loyal and faithful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Treelish.
Okay.
And can I just say one thing, Joe, please?
Yes, Andy.
Before I go. Before you get rid of me.
I won't never get rid of you, Andy.
I have awful respect for all those and the way they love their grandchildren and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I have nothing against that man that's leaving his Christmas lights on, I would have nothing against that at all. And I'd say that it was wrong, you know what I mean? The other thing that we must never forget is that an awful lot of people, you had a 44-year-old person, I don't know if it was a male or a female, who died this month.
That's right.
The youngest. They will never see another Christmas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they will never, you know, if they have grandchildren, they may have had grandchildren,
They children. If a 44-year-old would have children, I suppose.
But we must think about all the people. And every one of us, I think it's our duty to do everything possible to keep ourselves safe. Because I have a simple philosophy that if I do everything that I can to keep myself safe, I will automatically be keeping everyone else safe. I'd be no danger to anyone, do you know what I mean? Because this virus, I heard a doctor Monday morning at Morning Ireland saying that people still weren't taking it seriously. And I think an awful lot of people still don't realise what we are dealing with here. That, you know, they're talking about vaccines and all that. And if we don't stop the transmission of the virus, it may destroy the vaccine, that it'll be no good. You know what I mean?
Good point.
So,
you're taking that, yeah.
you know, so it's okay. Up to...
And Andy, just finally, Andy, what has kept you going during the last year?
Oh, did...
Well, getting up in the morning. You get up early and bright. And
oh, I'm up. Mostly I'm up. I'm up before 7
good
every
man.
Morning. And then the opposite to that lady. I went to bed last night. I felt tired. I went to bed. She mightn't believe this, but that lady that you had on,
Caroline,
I was in bed just after 8 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, but when I was working, I'm retired now, but when I was working, I've been used to getting up early and going to bed early for all my life, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
I've been used to it, and I couldn't stay in bed in the morning if you paid me.
Okay,
even if you,
When is the last time you had a lie-in?
I know,
you understand. But you mentioned that you're 36 years living alone, but you also mentioned your father. I think you mentioned your mother as well. Are you living alone since they passed away, Andy?
My marriage broke up in England, and I had a son, but he died at birth, just after he was born. But after my marriage broke up, I never got, and I lived. And then I came home to my home place where I am here now.
Yeah.
This is where I was born, you know.
Okay.
And I had four. What am I talking about? I had three brothers, and they're all dead, you know. You know, I'm here on my own, but I want no one to worry about me because I don't even worry about myself. I just keep myself. Do you understand?
You're a tonic.
I don't even think about it never comes into my head about being lonely or being on my own.
Great.
It's the way I am.
And what do you read? You say you love reading. What are you reading at the minute? What type of books do you like reading?
Do you know something? You mightn't believe this. No, I have read a good few of the philosophers, you know.
Great. No, I'm not surprised.
I speak fluent Irish, you know. And I have read most of everything that the Irish authors have written, you know, especially the good ones, Martin O'Kane and, you know, all the short story writers. I'll tell you a book that I read before Christmas, and I didn't know that he had published four of them.
Okay.
But I've been meaning to buy it. You mightn't believe this. I was meaning to buy it for the last 30 or 40 years.
Right.
And I finally, I thought it might even be, all creatures great and small.
Ah, yeah.
Do you know it?
Of course I do. Well, we primarily, James Herriot, don't we primarily know it through the TV series?
The TV, that's
which
where
is now
I got to know. And I always wanted to get the book, but what I didn't realise was that he had three more published, and I couldn't get my hands on them before, because I have them ordered, you know.
Right, you have them ordered, okay.
When I'm going to be able to get them, I don't know.
But if you have them ordered, they'll arrive.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, okay.
Into the bookshop, you know, into the bookshop.
Yeah, okay. And is there any other book you're looking for that we can help you find? Anything you've been... if you do think of one, come back on to us.
That's very kind of you. That is awful.
Because
kind
we can post you books.
I know. But I know I'm all right. I tell you mightn't believe this as well. I've read the Bible from cover to cover five times.
Wow.
I completed it for the fifth time. But would you believe it? You know, I know a good bit now about the Bible, you know. I think you had a program I rang, or did I try to ring in there a while back? You had a question on the Bible. I can't remember what it was now. But I was going to ring in. I can't remember what
okay,
it was.
Okay, well, are you saying you're an expert on the Bible?
No, I'm not. What I was
But you've read it five. You're a biblical scholar. Five times.
No. Wait till I tell you this. I do get the Far East magazine, you know,
from the Columbian Mission.
It's been coming into the house here. I've kept up the tradition, but I told them that if my subscription stopped, if they stopped receiving my subscription, that's it would be probably because I had passed away the other side. But no, it's been coming into our house. I can for at least 70 years or maybe more, and it's still coming in. But wait till I tell you this, Joe, and all that. They do have a Bible quiz on it, you know, in the. You might believe this.
I do.
There are times when I do have to look up the Bible to get the answer.
Okay.
You know, you're never a scholar.
We must
really.
We've a few books here we'll send you. Seamus O'Rourke, who's also from Leitrim, he's written a great memoir called Standing in Gaps. I presume you've read John McGahern. You have the brilliant writer.
Do you know something, Joe? And I'm not that much into fiction.
Okay.
I'm not that much
into fiction.
That's fine. Although I've read a lot of the Irish books. They're fiction. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
But I would be more. Well, you can get some very good, especially short stories.
I loved them. There's a brilliant brilliant collection of Irish short stories. Now, they're in English, compiled by Sinead Gleeson. It's called The Glimpse. Is it A Glimpse or A Glance? I'm seeing it in my brain here. It's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book. Okay.
Yeah.
Come
here and I tell you, I'll give you something that a lot of people might know that I came across.
Okay.
And I don't know if you ever heard of Antahar Padre Lear.
Did you hear of him? No.
He published Muskell Féin. Antahar Padre. But I came across, he translated a story that was written in old Irish.
Okay.
And he translated it into modern Irish, and I read it. But you know what I came across in it? That Sligo, you know Sligo?
Of course, yeah.
Sligo is the Irish for Sligo. But Sligo had another name long before ever. Sligo was put on it. And the name that they had on Sligo was As Rui Vic Warren.
Okay.
As Rui Vic Warren. In other words, the waterfall of the red sun of Morden.
Okay.
So that may people who are listening might be interested in that.
Okay. We'll try and get a copy of The Art of the Glimpse. That's the collected short story, Irish short story. I'd say you'd really like that. Frank O'Connor and Sean of Whalon, all the greats are in there. Claire Keegan, I think all the greats are in there, yeah. So, Andy, go to Mila Mahagud.
Slán go fiol.
We'll hear from you. Keep listening, won't you, please, if you can. And we will meet this time again next year. And as I say, this time again last year, what was the world beginning to talk about? COVID. And we're now in the middle of it. Go to Míle Maith, Andy. Agus slán go fóill.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Carmel, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
You're listening. Okay, when I think I did check them, when they say a year lost.
Yes, Joe. That was depressing words, and the tone of the program was very, very low mood. And I just feel that's the last thing we need, Joe. And I quickly write like Pudsey Ryan. I just let off an email and I said, okay, happiness is a choice. Because I do, honestly, for me, survival is waking up every morning saying, I'm going to be happy today, I'm going to be well. And quickly changing your mindset. I look around my kitchen, I have a kettle, I have tea, I have a teapot, I have toast.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, Joe, no doubt there's great sadness out there and people are frightened. That's but we just, have to... What?
Well, you see, what people, I think what's weighing people is there's nearly, unfortunately, this week we will see 3,000 people dead from COVID.
Yes, Joe, no doubt. That's the facts. That is the facts. But we either sink or swim now, Joe.
Okay.
If we let that get in on us, we wouldn't go outside the door. We would all die.
Yeah, that's what I said. Every day is worth living. But you're right to remind people, yeah.
No, it's just I can only give my own coping skills. And I was listening to Andy there, you know. You'll find something new. I've always learned to live on my own anyway and be happy. I made up my mind years ago. It's a state of mind. It's a choosing.
Okay.
You know, mental health is choosing. No, there's so much to be happy about. There's so much to live for.
But being able to, I totally agree with you, but we won't go into the whole issue of mental health because being able to count your blessings can sometimes be a blessing. And mental issues can be tormenting for people, and they a lot of the time have no control over them without help. But I take your overall point.
I'm generally talking.
I know
you are,
and you made the point so gently and graciously.
No, we have to cultivate hearts of gratitude, you know, on an individual basis. And every one of us could cry and scream and say, why me, Lord? And because that's life.
Okay.
But dig deep. I just say to people, that man, you know, said he's a year lost. He still has his lovely grandchildren. He still has his Christmas tree up. Look forward to that and cherish the next moment.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Anne, you want to make the final point? Anne from Lahinch. Thanks to Carmen from Kildare's on before the break. Anne, your final point.
Yes, hello, Joe. My sentiments are entirely exactly the same as our previous caller. I didn't get her name, Carmen.
Yes.
Be grateful. Be grateful. Look at that. We have a house, we have a bed, we have food, we're alive, our children are alive, our grandchildren are alive. And gratitude is a prayer.
And when people hear later on today, lockdown officially extended to March the 5th, the fine for being more than 5K from your house is going up dramatically from €100. They haven't given us a figure. Unless you're involved in essential work, you have no reason whatsoever to be away from home. But you say, count your blessings, Anne. That's your point. Okay, good to meet you, Margaret. I guess Slán go fall. Back tomorrow. Joe at rte.ie is the unending email. 24/7, 365, Rebecca Meehan produced, Damien Chanel on sound, Maeve Mooney the BCO, and Ray Darcy next.